Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast
Network, bitch.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 78 of Comic Timing. Well, there's a little more echo in the room. It's probably because here I am at the brand new recording space, translation, my brand new apartment. Now, because of the move, we haven't really had a chance to record over the past couple of weeks, so my apologies on that. However, I did record this little ditty about 3 weeks back, something like that, with Chris Johnson of the Amazing Spider-Cast. Initially, this was just to test out my brand new recorder, which I did the last couple of episodes of Comic Timing on, my H2 Zoom from, I think, Samsung, if memory serves me right. But, well, we ended up doing an entire conversation, really, about Chris's experiences at the Baltimore Comic Con. And I figured I might as well release it as episode 78 of Comic Timing to get this one out there. So, hell, why not? We will indeed be back very, very soon with regular episodes of Comic Timing beginning at episode 79. In fact, we're going to have an episode that plays very heavily upon a previous episode of Comic Timing. I was thinking I was going to probably leave this as a surprise, so yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. There won't be any forum thread for this. It'll just come out, and hopefully you guys will enjoy the episode. And speaking of episodes, this episode would not be complete without sponsorship, and Comic Timing is indeed sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. The brand new solicitations for December are up, and in doing so, Heroes Corner has their deals for the month up and ready to go. Now, there is no set special this month with Heroes Corner. However, there's a bunch of books for 75 and 50% off, and I'm just going to name a few here. Black Panther 2, number 1, the premiere of the female Black Panther, is 75% off at Heroes Corner. Regularly going for $3.99, you can get it for $1. So you're saving a lot at Heroes Corner because a lot of the books this month that are new are premiering at $3.99, and, well, they're all discounted at Heroes Corner. So hooray for that. Fables number 81, which actually has a mature tag for the first time. I've never seen that on a Fables comic up until now, but yeah, Fables number 81 for mature audiences only. 50% off at Heroes Corner, regular $2.99, only $1.50 at Heroes Corner. Cable's on sale for 50% off at $1.50. Brand new story arc there. Super Friends number 12 is $1.25, 50% off. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff for you at Heroes Corner, but let's actually go first with the Comic Timing picks of the month, and we will begin with DC, as this was Brent's pick, and this one is Detective Comics number 853. Now, this is part two of Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader. Part one is taking place in Batman, and this one is written by Neil Gaiman with art by Andy Kubert and Scott Williams. You can't get a better team than that, and this is, in essence, the Batman version of Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, the famous Alan Moore title that he did about Superman. Now, is this going to be the end of an era for Batman? Well, I guess we'll have to find out. And this one is 50% off at Heroes Corner. Yet again, it's a $3.99 comic, which you're getting for $2. So hooray for that. The independent pick of the month this month is, we're actually technically going Vertigo, but, you know, that's independent enough for us. And this one is going to be Bang Tango number 1. And it's written by Joe Kelly, and the concept sounds amazing. Basically, okay, yeah, I laughed when even thinking about this. It's you know, a former mob hitman who becomes a really big tango star. And, that's kind of how I can explain it. I'm sorry. Ex-gangster turned tango guy, you really don't need to explain more than that. The art's by Adrian Sabar and Rodney Ramos, cover by Howard Chaykin. It's only 75 cents this month at Heroes Corner, 75% off of the regular $2.99, so go and check that out. And our Marvel pick of the month will make Raf Suhu a very, very happy boy. That's right, War of Kings, Dark Hawk number 1. The brand new series coming out of Marvel Comics, bringing Darkhawk back into the center of Marvel books. And the big change this time is that he seems to be a cosmic hero now, and still working for his job at Project Pegasus, which he was doing over in the Nova book. So it's going to play off of that. And, well, is Darkhawk going to destroy the world, or is he going to save it? We find out in this. It's written by C.B. Cebulski, penciled by Harvey Tolabow, and cover by Brandon Peterson. And this is all part of War of Kings. 50% off at Heroes Corner. It's another $3.99 book that you'll be able to get for $2. And the Comic Timing special discount code, as usual, is CTROCKS. That's CTROCKS. You will get an additional 5% off on your first order at Heroes Corner if you use that promo code. First-time users only, though. So, hey, give Heroes Corner a shot. The best damn customer service around. HeroesCorner.com. Thank you so much for your support, Heroes Corner. You guys are the best. And we are announcing here that it is official. We will indeed be in the 2009 Podcast Arena at New York Comic Con. More details to come, and full information on New York Comic Con is to come. But we will be sharing a table with the Geeks Unite guys, Juan and Raph, in Podcast Arena. It'll be myself, Juan, and Raph. And best of all, yet again, more information to come, but Comic Timing will be at MegaCon as well. Comic Timing, MegaCon 2009, Brent Cassina, Ian Levenstein, yet again, Brandon will be there. Not sure about Raph yet, but at least the three of us will be trolling the floor at MegaCon. You'll get another live show directly from the hotel room as well. I cannot wait for this. The month of February is going to be huge for Comic Timing, so we are certainly not dead and gone. We might just be a little bit injured right now, but hey, we're building ourselves back up, and I've got an actual room to record in now as opposed to a closet. That makes me a very happy camper. So without further ado, here is my, I guess you can call it an interview with Chris Johnson of Amazing Spider-Cast as we talk about his time at Baltimore Comic Con. Enjoy! How's it going with you?
It's going pretty good. College isn't too bad. I have a history paper I gotta do this weekend, though.
Oh, lovely. What, American history?
No, this is, like ancient Greek and Roman type stuff.
Oh, so the more interesting history. One that's that's
exactly
history, as opposed to, you know, 1776.
Right.
Yeah. I'm so fucking happy because, like, I finally discovered Amazon Marketplace and I actually started using it, and some fucker just bought my old American history book for $45.
Awesome.
It's like, this shit is like 4 years out of date, and for some reason the guy wants it. So, you know what? If he wants it, by all means, he can go ahead and do it, because I ain't fucking using it anymore.
Exactly.
Money, money, money. Wherever I can get it, man. Wherever I can get it. So, how's the podcasting been going?
Well, I took a little bit of break just because I was transitioning into college and all that.
I mean, you like have a set date when you're going to be getting back in the swing of things, or you're just taking it by ear?
Oh, I've already put out the two. There were four that we had in the can before. Uh-huh. Okay. I took a break, and I've got two of those out, and I'm going to put the two-year anniversary show up on Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right. That's the one you did, like 2 or 3 months back, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then in the middle of the week, I'm hopefully going to be able to put up the next spectacular Spider-Cast. And then tomorrow, Jen and I are going to be recording our entry for the podcast theme month.
Yeah, that's what I did last month. And, last night. Fuck, man, I can't even talk right now. Hey, yeah, it's like, it's 11:54. I just got home from work a little while ago. So I, to say the least, I worked overtime today, we recorded last night. The reason that I have the H2 now is because last week we tried to record and 2 hours of recording got lost.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. I never really had this problem with the iRiver before. Like, I mean, I had some, like, weirdness going on about, like, a month back where it just all of a sudden shut off, but it was after we were done recording, so I didn't find it, you know, big deal or anything. Like, everything was saved and everything. But we're ending the show. I'm about to do forum comments, and then out of the blue, it just shuts off, and it doesn't turn back on. So there was 2 hours lost right there. And I was a little bit beefed. Just a little bit, you know. Suck it up. Breathe in, breathe out. Relax.
Right.
Yeah, you know. Don't let it get to me too much. Okay, not going to cheer up now. Not going to do it. No.
But, I mean, we got everybody back for the next week and everything, except for Brent, which was amusing.
Did he fall asleep again?
No. He didn't realize he had another obligation. He was helping out his girlfriend and a couple friends do some sort of, like, I think, what the fuck was it? I think it was, like, some sort of, like, recording they had to do, of all things.
Oh.
He needed to do a recording, so he couldn't do the recording. But I think they were doing some sort of, like special, like, project for school or something, like, actual, like, video stuff.
Right.
So they needed his help with that. So instead, I get the, you know, bright wisdom to fucking invite Raph and Juan on instead. So it was Raph, Juan, Chad Burdett, and John Carroll.
So what catchphrase do we have to count this time?
Maverick.
Excellent.
So, yeah, when Raph and Juan, because I mean they came in about a half hour late because they were recording their own show. So like about 11 o'clock they come on, and the first word out of Raph's mouth was, "Hey, you know, you're such a maverick."
That's brilliant.
I totally blame Sarah Palin and everything she stands for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I mean, it turned out fun and all that, but I made sure to, like, stop every 45 minutes just to be on the safe side, and everything came out on that one. But I ordered this on, what was it, I think Monday, and it's here already, so I'm just salivating, man.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. What do you use to record? I forget. You just use the software, right?
Yeah, I use, I've got, the program I use is Powergramo.
Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, that one works pretty good from what I've heard.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems with it yet.
Yeah, it's not Hot Recorder. dear God, I sometimes have to wash my brain out with soap even thinking about the times that we used to record for that piece of crap.
Well, I can still remember when I was first starting out and I had my crappy gateway mic and...
Like the one that was built into the computer?
Yeah, the one that came with it that couldn't pick up my noise for my voice for shit. And...
Nice. Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to get used to, you know, because, I mean, like the laptop that I use for all my editing is technically my mother's. So mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be without that. So I'm taking the desktop with me in the move. I'll be saddled to... you know, being in one room editing as opposed to sitting at the TV watching, you know, Heroes or something like that while trying to edit the show, which will be a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
Do you use a laptop or are you a desktop guy?
I use a laptop.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a lucky bastard. Well, I mean, like, you can get a decent Dell these days for like $800.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, my next paycheck, I might just, you know, roll it in there. Because I'm going to be paying about $650 a month for rent, which is, you know, for New York, is fucking amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like, for New York, that sounds like it's...
Yeah.
Like, just...
It's heaven.
Yeah.
Well, that's also because we're in Brooklyn as opposed to, you know, the stupid idiots who get it, like, their small, thimble-sized apartments in the middle of Manhattan. You know?
Right.
Like, I mean, we're paying $1,275 a month for a two-bedroom apartment with a gorgeous view of my old college in the middle of Brooklyn. And that same price is probably barely a studio in Manhattan around 47th Street.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I think it's probably a good thing that we're staying in the outer boroughs.
I would say so.
Oh, man. So,
might be reaching a bit, but...
Just a little bit, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't really had a chance to talk to you lately. So, I mean, so, how was Baltimore?
Baltimore, well, it was... They moved it from where it was last time. I don't think they were expecting as many people showed up mm-hmm. to the con this year.
Okay.
And so, the line... There, it was really crowded. I mean, you know, you've got Jeff Johns and James Robinson mm-hmm. at one booth, and then a couple... booths over, you've got Brian Bendis.
Was Jim Lee there too?
Oh, yes, Jim Lee was there. And his line, they had to move him to the area where they had people, the check-in, mm-hmm. and where you got tickets, because his line was so long. Okay. They had to move him out there.
Oh my God! But where? So where was this? I mean, I know the convention center because you know I went to Baltimore the first time I was around there, and I go to Otakon all the time. Like, was this still in the the one closest to the harbor, or was this closer to Camden?
I think it was closer to Camden.
Okay. So this was in the main convention center.
Or it might have been. I don't know. I think it was. It probably wasn't the main convention center.
Okay, well, you know probably. Where did you enter? Did you enter directly across the street from Cannon Yards, or did you enter farther down the street?
Farther down the street, So it was probably in the harbor.
Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, and that's I think that's the same area they had it the year I was there, but maybe they changed the layout or something. Like, I mean, was it just like one hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just one hall, mm-hmm. pretty much. And, you know, because I remembered when I was there last year, and it seemed... you know, bigger, and then I was hearing people talking about it, and they were like, well, they moved the convention space, and I was like, oh, well, that makes sense, because mm-hmm. it definitely felt more cramped than it did last year.
Right. Did they still have the panels on a separate floor like they did when I was there?
Oh, yeah, they had it above. I think it was the third floor.
Okay.
They had right. the panels. They still had a... I went to the Bendis versus Kirkman panel, which was awesome. That was just brilliant.
Did they fight it out with boxing gloves?
No, but it was awesome how they started off there. Robert Kirkman was like, Brian Bendis, fuck you. And then Bendis was like, Kirkman, fuck you. And it just said fuck you to each other for like 5 minutes, and then they got into it. But there was a great part where Kirkman brought out all these charts to like prove his, to back up his video. Uh-huh. And Bendis was like... Yeah, these are sales from the internet, right? These aren't actual sales. And Kirkman was like, yeah. And he's like, well, then, you know, these aren't worth anything because the actual sales and the online sales are different. Then Kirkman's like, next slide. And he had online and the actual sales on the next slide. It was brilliant.
Oh, that sounds amazing, man. Like, I know that they're best friends. Like, well, they're not exactly best friends. I mean, they've been close friends for ages. So it's like it's not like their rivalry is anything like real or anything. But
yeah, it got heated at times, but they still hugged afterwards. You know, so it wasn't like friendships were broken as a result of it or anything like that.
It was just more like hug it out, bitch.
Yeah.
Awesome. When you first walked in, was there a statue of people like sitting, like off to the side?
No, I don't believe so. No.
Okay. Because now I'm trying to place like which hall this probably was. Because I mean, I know like the main hall that they had it in. Like directly when you walked in, there was this like little like sitting path, and there were like bronze statues of people like reading a newspaper and like eating eating fries or something like that.
Okay, it was at the. It was at the Charles Street entrance.
The Charles Street entrance, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the site right now.
Okay, then yeah, that probably is the same area that they had it before. It's just maybe. Did they keep the hall in one room last time?
It felt like it was. It certainly felt the convention space certainly felt bigger mm-hmm. last year.
Okay.
Because like it was pretty congested in the row. The rows when you're trying to get to booth to booth.
Right.
But last year it seemed like you had space to move. Well, but it was really congested this time.
One would think that they would have assumed they were going to get a large amount of people with guys like Bendis and Kirkman and frickin' Jim Lee at a convention.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know why they didn't have a bigger space.
Well, I guess they certainly will next year.
Oh, yeah. Like, they were talking about, you know, maybe they should make it a 3-day con or at least, you know, get a bigger space for next year.
Hey, I mean, 3-day con I'd be all for. In fact, that'll probably get me to go to it as long as it's not yet again the same weekend as New York Anime Fest, because that would be a major pain in my ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Anime Fest was a piece of shit, but it was my piece of shit, if you know what I mean.
I hear you.
You know, it's like, I mean, anything that's like in, not even walking distance, but I mean, you know, like train distance versus having to book a hotel room and have to worry about transportation and all this shit versus, you know, you hop on the B train, you're there in 45 minutes, you walk over to Javits and bam, bam, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, I want to go to Baltimore. For the love of God, I want to go to frickin' Baltimore Comic Con again because I loved it the first time I was there. Even if it wasn't, like, the ass end of, like, outside of Baltimore County. you know, yeah, first, I was a moron booking my hotel room the first year,
because
I had never been to Baltimore before. Okay, so in my New York City brain head, I thought, hey, it's Baltimore, it's got to be close. Yeah, about that. Not really.
Yeah, I've had family up there like all my life, so.
Well, I mean, luckily I was on the light. I was on the light rail,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, we were able to take the you know, the light rail in every day. But we didn't know that going out there, so we spent a cab ride, which cost over $100.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah, that was a major pain in my rump.
Well, I can imagine.
And I ain't never getting back. But on the bright side, there was a Damon's Grill in the shopping center near where we were staying, and that might have been the best food I've ever eaten in my fucking life.
Oh, there you go.
You're pretty damn good. If you ever get the opportunity to go to a Damon's, if they even still exist, then take the opportunity. There's nothing quite like scarfing down ribs at midnight.
That sounds awesome.
Well, like, we hadn't eaten all damn day, you know? And we're heading back to the hotel room. It's like, okay, what do we do? So we walk around the mall for at least a little bit to see if we can find something. And we sort of hear the music, and we follow the music, and the music is like wafting over us. And then we start smelling food. So then the smell is leading us along with the music. And then we find Damon's, and we're like, okay, that's where it was coming from. The end. So what other shit you been up to? Anything?
No, not really.
Wow, you have a very exciting life.
Well, there is one thing I'm not at liberty to discuss right now.
Uh-oh. What happened? You end up in jail?
No. Nothing like that.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Is it something show-related? Is that it?
No, it's not show-related.
Oh, okay. Are you running for president?
Well, I don't know any MILFs, so I don't think I have a good shot.
Oh, man. You know, I love how someone registered vpilf.com for Palin. Like, long before she was even vice president, the guy, like, on a whim, you know, because he saw Palin's name in the running and thought, I should probably register vpilf just in case.
Genius.
And it is now, like, the source for all your Palin news.
Well, of course. People aren't going to search for Sailor Palin. They're going to search for vpilf. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly, because that's what she is, whether we like it or not. Oh, damn. See now you got my head running, man, about you're not at liberty to say. That's very, very political of you. All right, well, if and when you can say, let me know.
I'll be sure to.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I mean, you want to chat a little bit more about your experience? I mean, you get any sketches or anything like that?
I got one sketch, met a couple people.
Well.
Got a ton of swag, so.
Well, who did you meet, what did you swag, and what did you sketch?
Well, I think the highlight of the con was meeting Darwin Cook.
Ooh.
Because he's just an absolute genius, in my opinion.
Yes, and he's an absolute new frontier.
That's true.
You know, it's midnight when I'm making corny jokes like that.
Oh, I know all about... I know all about making corny jokes at midnight, trust me.
Yeah. Likely story. So, you talk to him about anything in particular, or just...
I just told him that I really enjoyed his stuff, and he was really cool because he was actually sick. And he wasn't doing any sketches or anything, but he was still... signing.
That's cool.
Which I thought was just awesome of him.
Yeah, that's really nice of him. Yeah, well, I'm glad you didn't go Chris Farley on him.
Yes.
Hey, Darwin. Remember when you drew New Frontier? That was awesome. I guarantee you, he's had at least 2,000 people come up to him in his con, experiences, and do that exact same thing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, you get to meet
that. Could make for an awesome video podcast.
Oh
God.
Yeah, and the entire time he's holding his nose because the guy also smells like a turd.
Hey, Jeff Johns.
remember when that time you wrote Infinite Crisis and you killed off Connor? Why'd you do that?
The possibilities are endless.
So who else you get the schmooze?
I talked to Mark Wade for just a second. He signed one of my issues of Brave and the Bold, and I got to tell him how much that run rocked.
Did you tell him, Mark Wade, I'm sorry?
No.
I'm still sorry about MegaCon. I'm sorry, Mark. We'll never sick wrath on you again, I swear.
Especially since the RAF radio has infected him.
Yes, yes, and he's a maverick.
Indeed.
He's just a maverick. A maverick, yeah, certainly.
You know, Palin's like the closest thing to Canadian you can get without being Canadian. Aren't you so happy she's not Canadian?
Hey, my co-host is Canadian.
Yes,
so.
Yes, that's why I'm saying. For your co-host's sake, aren't you happy that Palin is not Canadian?
Good point.
yeah. All right. So yeah. Go through your list of meeting and stuff like that.
All right. Well, I got to meet Eric Pal again, who does actually my favorite comic book on the stands. Period. The Goon. Last year, I had only known his stuff from his Arc and Action Comics, the first issue had come out when I talked to him last year, but since then I've read like every trade. I've been reading The Goon monthly, and I think it's just the best book on the stands. And so it was awesome.
Does he do art on that too, or is somebody else doing the art?
Oh yeah, writing and art. Okay. It's all Eric Powell.
Okay, all right, gotcha. Yeah, because you know I have the first volume of Goon. I read it. I like weird. I like strange. That might be a little bit too weird and strange even for me.
It's not for everybody. It's definitely not for everybody.
Yeah, it's like it's the ambush bug of horror comics.
I can see that.
Because I mean, nothing is more like all over the place and crazy and zany and out of this world than The Goon.
Mm-hmm.
And the satire too. My God, he puts the satire on thicker than even Giffen can do.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, so who else you got?
Robert Kirkman.
Ooh.
That was kind of my stand there like an idiot. Last year it was John Romita Sr., and this time it was Robert Kirkman.
So that was your Chris Farley moment, okay.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Remember when you wrote Invincible? Yeah. That was awesome.
It was actually funny because the guy in front of me, he had picked up a Walking Dead hardcover. Mm-hmm. And he had picked it up used. It wasn't a brand new volume. And it turned out that Robert Kirkman had already signed it. So when somebody brought it up for him to sign, he's like, I already signed this.
That's hilarious. Did he pick it up at the con, or was it?
Yeah,
just...
I think he picked it up at the con. Yeah.
Okay, because that would be fantastic if he picked it up like randomly, like at a used bookstore or something like that, and it just happened to be assigned Robert Kirkman.
That would have been awesome. Yeah. I think it was signed by Adler too.
My God, man. Okay, I guess someone really didn't like Walking Dead much.
I guess they liked it enough to get it signed and then to just get rid of it.
It amazes me how people can be like that sometimes. That you know, even if they don't like something, they'll get something signed, and then they'll either sell it or, you know, not even bother to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met people like that before. I'm like, hey, yeah, so you got to meet Frank Miller, huh? Oh, wow, he signed your All-Star Batman and Robin. You don't read All-Star Batman and Robin. What the hell?
Okay. Yeah, man. One of my pet peeves is the people who just, like, throw a stack of books down on the crater. Mm-hmm. Like, my rule with that is I only bring one thing to get signed, because right. For me it's more about getting to meet them, shake their hand, and tell them I love their stuff. Oh, like yeah. I would take one book for a memento, you know, purposes, but other than that, you know, it's more about meeting the creators for me.
Oh, of course. No, dude, without a doubt. I mean, that, and you brighten their day. by, you know, thanking them for liking their stuff and, you know, for letting them know just how much it meant to you, as opposed to just standing there like a dupe and, you know, not saying anything. If you actually just say the words thank you, they're happy to hear it. You know, that's all you got to do. Just show some affection, for God's sakes.
Definitely. They're human beings, not, you know, automated signing machines or anything like that.
You can certainly tell which ones have never had girlfriends when it comes to fans, you know? The guys who can't say please or thank you when they're getting something signed, they've never had girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're too socially awkward to understand that that's how the world works. Enough said. I just lost about 20 listeners, but I don't fucking care. but yeah, and I mean, too, like, there'll also be the people, and again, this is like a going on the same things, where, you know, if like an absolute Walking Dead comes out, it doesn't matter to them if it got signed, they'll just get rid of their original volume, and then they'll get that, and I'm like, you got it signed. There's emotional attachment to it, isn't it? And they're like, it's just a book. I don't care.
Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah. Biatches.
Word.
Yo. For shizzle. All right, I'm done. So, I mean, you get to meet any artists that you like?
Chris Caruso, who does the mini Marvels.
Oh, cool.
And he actually did meet an awesome Alan Scott Green Lantern, which I'm chatting to you.
Aren't you sort of breaking the rule by having Mr. Mini Marvel do a DC character?
Well, I was originally going to do Hypno Hustler, but I've always had a soft spot for Alan Scott, so.
Well, you would have had the broad reference, I'm sure, if you were going to do Hypno
Hustler. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just got a bunch of pictures off the net, and I put them on. I like, pasted them to a board that was in the sketchbook. And then I brought that along for reference.
Yeah, very cool Alan Scott, by the way. I love the look on his face, too. It's like, oh my God, I have a ring.
I'm thinking about commissioning the entire JSA.
Oh,
the original JSA.
Or better yet, how about all the Green Lanterns? Well, not just all, I mean, I don't mean all the Green Lanterns as in all the Green Lantern Corps, but all the...
All 6,000.
All the Earth Green Lanterns. You know, John Stewart,
cool,
Kyle Rayner, Hal Jordan, Alan Scott, because he's technically a Green Lantern. Throw Jade in there if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's magic.
And I got to meet Mike Norton, who is awesome.
Never heard of him. Did he eat your baby while you were in line?
No, I did not see any babies being eaten. And although I thought I saw some little legs underneath of the booth, but then when I looked back, I didn't see anything. So it might have just been a trick of the light, you know.
It must not have been Mike Norton then. You must have found the wrong guy.
Guess so.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame. Read Green Arrow, Black Canary.
I actually picked up issues 7 through 12 of Green Arrow, Black Canary that he did, and read through those and really enjoyed them.
Very nice. Yeah. I am kind of still annoyed at what happened to Connor, though. Because, vegetative state, no. I'd much rather the Green Arrow that I grew to love when I was reading comic books still be walking around like a human being. And the most recent issue, shit happens to him, but it's still not Connor. It's still not right. So, I mean, hopefully we'll get to a point where he's back to normal, but stop messing with him, dude. Come on. Enough said. Mini rant. Number 17.
You got him numbered?
Well, I have to, or else I'll lose track.
True.
I mean, how does it stack up to last year's Baltimore Comic Con? I mean, I know you mentioned that it was a little bit smaller than the last year's. I mean, did you have a better time this year than you did the last time?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, last year, I had a bit of a limited budget on what I could spend, and this year there was an ATM located in the convention center, so I hit that a couple of times.
Yeah, that'll help. Well, it's like I remember at MegaCon this past year, there were two ATMs in the entire place, and the line to those ATMs was out the frickin' door, man. I mean, it didn't matter that they were charging like $2.25 to take out money. People were just over there to their heart's content, getting out their money without realizing, oh shit, I'm spending more money than I can possibly stand.
That's what the con will do to you.
Amen, amen. But yeah, way too much money spent on a weekend. That's what a convention's all about, baby.
Oh, definitely.
What'd you pick up haul wise? I mean, comics.
Quite a bit of stuff. After hearing some good things about it, I started picking up All Star Squadron. I got issues 1, 3 through 6, 9, 11. 16 to 17, 22 to 23, 27 to 28, 41, and annual number 2 from that. So I'm going to be picking up the All Star Squadron issues whenever I hit a con.
So it sort of sounds like you're calling out football numbers. Sorry. There.
Hike.
Ready.
Also,
hut. Sorry. Now all I can think of is Tecmo Super Bowl for the NES. That was my favorite part. If you didn't press the A button, he would just keep on saying over and over again, hike, until you did something. All right, but continue, please. I'm cutting you off.
I hit up the Tomorrow's booth because I love their products. I'm reading the All-Star Companion right now and really enjoying that, and I picked up issues 4, 45, and 74 of Alter Ego magazine.
Oh, cool. Okay. Were they anything in particular that you were interested in, or just because they were there?
4 had a double feature on the Golden Age Hawkman and Flash. Mm-hmm. 45 had a focus on the Golden Age Sandman. And 74 was their tribute to Stan Lee.
Very cool. Good reason.
And then I just... yeah. I already picked up the Right Now tribute to Stan Lee, so I picked up the Alter Ego one as well. Just to have both of them.
Cool. Excellent. So, yeah, I mean, I think you came out pretty good, pretty snazzy.
And then I got they have a lot of, you know, half-price trades.
Uh-oh.
And stuff. So.
Uh-oh. I'm bracing myself, Chris. Don't worry. Come on.
It's not too many. Right. But I got Captain Marvel Volume 3, Criminal Volume 1, mm-hmm. JSA Presents Green Lantern, and Justice Society Volume 1, which collects the 70s All-Star comics in that. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of just 25-cent bin stuff. Like, I got the Black Plague number 1, the Call number 2, the Cerebus Guide to Self-Publishing, Fallen Angel issues 10 and 11.
Which Fallen Angel?
IDW.
Okay.
Local 8 and 9, Powers from the Image Run 18 and 20, I got Razzle number 1 for 50 cents.
Razzle? What is Razzle?
It is Jeff Smith's new book.
Oh, okay, alright, wow, it's 50 cents already? My God.
Yeah.
That shit just came out.
I know, I was surprised that was in a 50 cent bin, but hey, it was in there, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to double question it, man, come on. whatever's cheap is cheap, man.
Oh, yeah. And then I got Rocketto, 7, 9 through 12. And I haven't read those yet because I want to pick up the rest of the issues before I read the entire thing. I picked up that Sharkman, number 1 from Thrill House a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I picked up issues 1 through 5 of Vinyl Underground from Vertigo.
Cool.
And then I found an issue of True Story Swear to God number 17 before it went to Image. That was in the 25-cent bin, so I got that.
Man, damn, that's making me miss Baltimore, because that was what Baltimore Comic Con was for me that one year that I went. It was just a great place to pick up a bunch of back issues that I hadn't had. Like, I mean, I finished my I started, that was where I started, wasn't it? I picked up about the first 15 issues of Manhunter there.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of the DC Fallen Angel, because there were a bunch of the DC Fallen Angels that I had missed when they first came out, because I came out of the title near its end before it switched over to IDW, and was able to pick that up there, too. I mean, there are so many more 50 Cent guys and Dollar Bin guys of Baltimore than there are in New York.
Oh, yeah, they had a ton of Dollar Bins there.
It makes me very, very sad that there aren't more Dollar Bins in the world today. But you know what? That's the economy.
Yeah.
They're all $2 bins.
Unfortunately. Except at Baltimore.
Yep. All right, well, I got about 9 minutes left on this SD card before I get my 4 gig in the mail in the next couple of days, so I guess we should wrap this up here. But, you know, nice impromptu mini episode of Comic Timing detailing your Baltimore Comic-Con stuff. And I didn't even bother to tell you it was a Comic Timing until after we'd recorded the Baltimore Comic-Con stuff in the first place. Holy crap, man!
Well, you know, I'm planning on coming up for New York.
Excellent.
If I can swing it, so.
Okay, well, that's early February, so it's not too far, man, and it's $50 for the weekend.
Yeah, I think I should be able to swing that.
Okay. You want to pip the website?
Yes, it is theamazingspidercast.libsyn.com, and we had a little bit of a hiatus going, but now we are back in business, getting ready to finally release our two-year anniversary episode, and then we're going to contribute to the politics in comics theme month for comic podcasts, and we're going to be taking a look at an arc from issues 116 to 118 involving a mayoral candidate, and it is actually a reprint with a few additions added of the first issue of the short-lived Spectacular Spider-Man magazine from the late 60s.
Whoa, my God.
And the ending makes no sense at all. So I just thought it would. It's, you know, it's tied. It's kind of tied into politics and comics, and it just seemed like a fun story to just talk about. And plus, Jen has been more into the current era of Spider-Man. Has been getting more into the more Silver Age and Bronze Age type stuff. So it's really cool. Because I'm a Silver Age nerd, so, you know, it's cool to, you know, introduce Jen to this older stuff.
Well, like any good Bronze Age comic book, it makes absolutely no sense. That's what I've learned, man. Like, reading some of those early Fantastic Fours, I'm like, what the hell were you smoking, Lee? But, yeah, definitely check out Amazing Spider-Cast. Good to have you back in the fold.
Oh, well, it's good to be back.
All right, and just in time for me to leave for a little bit, so go figure. But, yeah, you're hearing this probably as I'm moving my stuff into my dorm room. Well, what am I saying? Dorm room. Wow, holy crap. Yeah, that's what it feels like. But, no, more like into an apartment. So, yeah, so one, this is probably mostly unedited just to make my life easier, and we'll be back with regular Comic Timing soon. So before we head out, one more time, this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. We got plenty of discounts this month at Heroes Corner, but let's just give you the Comic Timing picks of the month for the ending here. As part of the review corner, we got ourselves Detective Comics number 853, part 2 of Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader with Neil Gaiman and Kubert with Scott Williams. 50% off retail. Heroes Corner price of $2. Retail $3.99. War of Kings Dark Hawk number 1. 50% off retail. Hero Corner price of $2. Regular $3.99 yet again. And Bang Tango number 1. 75% off retail. Only 75 cents on Heroes Corner. Retail of $2.99. The Heroes Corner code for Comic Timing, yet again, is CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS, so go ahead and use it over at heroescorner.com and find out about all the other great discounts this month over at Heroes Corner. Best customer service around, heroescorner.com. And the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com, graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on dig.com and send us your iTunes reviews if you can. So for the not in this episode, Brent Cassina, and for Chris, I'm Ian Levesine, and as always, there's always time for comics.
Hey there, folks. My name... Wow. That was a squeak. Holy crap. It's another $3.99. Wow, it's just me and I'm already screwing up.
You talk to him about that.